Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 80. That's a big number. For Thursday, December 1st, 2011. And holy crap, it's December. Where did that come from? I'm Phil Nickinson. I'm your host for the podcast and the editor of AndroidCentral.com, the best damn Android site doing a podcast tonight, I think. Are there any others doing a podcast? They are. Apologies, but, you know, whatever. So, what's going on? We haven't talked since Thanksgiving. With us, we have Jerry Hildenbrand from the site.
Howdy, everybody.
And we have Corey Streeter from the Android Central forums.
Hey, everybody.
And from England, we have Alex Dobie.
Good evening, everyone.
Mickey Chaplin is on special assignment. I tell you what he's doing, but you don't want to know. It's horrible. It's work stuff, but it's pretty funny. I'm just going to give him a hard time about it later. It's the only reason I mention it. So, what's going on? Haven't talked to you guys. Well, I mean, I talk to you guys every day, but we haven't talked to everybody else in the podcast for a couple weeks now. Did I miss anything? Any big news?
Not that I know of.
No? That's it? All right, well, good night. See you later. Hey, guess what? Guess what I'm reaching for? Guess what I'm grabbing?
The Prime.
Oh, Galaxy Nexus. It's nice. It's nice. Yeah, just give me a second.
Let's see the back.
The back is nice. So I want to talk about the phone for a second. It's awesome that Verizon needs to release it now. That simple. I can't wait for everybody else to get this, really. I mean, Alex, you did a kick-ass review, and I read it because that's my job, but I also enjoyed it. But damn, once you get this thing in your hands, it's big, but it's nice.
It's a hell of a phone, isn't it?
It's a hell of a phone. But even more so is that Ice Cream Sandwich isn't a hell of an operating system. I've been using ICS on the Nexus S for a little while, and I think I'm using K-Mos' build now, or Kusha's, I forget who did it. And it's much better than the first one I used. So I tell you what, if you can't get a Galaxy Nexus, get a Nexus S. I was talking to Ashley Skett about this last night. Like, you know, I mean, these things are expensive as hell right now. Still, it's ridiculous. I'm still not crazy about the Verizon exclusivity. Not good. But I think Ice Cream Sandwich is good enough to where you get a Galaxy Nexus S and you'll be just fine. I tell you what, I'm not totally sold on the little software buttons down here. Like, they're cool, they're different, they're flexible, whatever. But on Nexus S, it works just fine. And I totally miss having a menu button here on the home screen. Like, how do you get to settings from here? Right.
You pull the little thing down at the top. You pull the notification bar down. That's why it's there.
Oh, hell. All right. So you can do that. I've been doing that. All right. So you can do that.
But yeah, I agree. Still, it's kind of weird having a settings button.
That's easy. But, you know, my point is still that's, you know, a lot more motion, I think, than just going down here, right?
I think the reason they're getting rid of the settings button is to stop having so many things hidden behind laser menus.
Right. And I understand that.
Ultimately, that's got to be a good thing.
Except that when you're in an app, right, and here we're in the Android market here, if you can see it. So, you know, your menus come up here to the top right, right? But if you're in an old legacy app, and I hate to call it an old legacy app, just a normal app, right? You know, so here's Seismic, and it's down here in the bottom right. Now, I mean, at some point that has to come together, right? And you say, all right, well, that's an old app. The dev needs to fix it. But it's not just the dev. So here's Google Maps, bottom right. You know, it's an app thing, but it's not just, you know, anybody other than Google. So Google hasn't even updated all its stuff yet. It's fragmented. That's what it is. Apps are fragmented. You know, I mean, they'll fix it. It's annoying right now. I'm not sure where I like it better, in the top or the bottom. Either way.
So if we had maybe physical buttons for the three we've got right now, so back, home, and then the task switcher, do you think that would be any better, or was it just the principle of having things on the screen that you don't like?
No, I'm actually fine with it either way, I think. I mean, here's my thing. What is there to say that a manufacturer has to make a smartphone with no buttons now? You know, can they just keep doing it the way they do it? Would Google just totally give them a hard time?
No, I mean, we've seen a bunch of leaked things from HTC, and they've all got capacitive buttons.
Now, we have no idea how old those are, right? So those could well change.
True.
You know, and I figure something like that we'll probably see at MWC, maybe CES, but MWC is where HTC traditionally goes all out. I don't know. I mean, it'd be interesting, right? If you know, Motorola says, no, screw you, we want buttons. Well, I guess Motorola's a bad choice for that now. but if HTC did it, right, whoever.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it'll matter, really. I mean, the Nexus S has got buttons. There's tons of devices with buttons that are going to get ICS.
Mm-hmm. I love ICS. I love the folders. The folders have totally changed my home screen, so I don't have much on here. And, I mean, it's not that we didn't have folders before, right? But, you know, Android totally ripped off the way iOS does it. So all you have to do is drag one thing on top of the other, and it makes a folder. And you can name the folders whatever you want. And it's nice. I like it a lot. It's fast. Screen, I don't know, the screen's big, but I tell you what, I don't worry about the 4.65-inch number anymore, because that's just, it's a number.
No.
And you lose, what, about a quarter of an inch to those buttons anyway. So
yeah, it's functionally no bigger than a 4.3, would you agree with
yeah.
that?
Yeah, no, yeah. I would, absolutely. It's tall, but it's thin. I like the curve. I think the curve is more noticeable than the Nexus S.
Oh, really? Have not, I really don't notice the curve at all.
Yeah. Smooth on the Weird. Face. I need something I can do NFC with. I'm very disappointed still. There's like nothing.
Yeah, there's
here.
There's nothing over here. I mean, we don't have NFC. Don't even have Google Wallet.
Well, yeah, I mean, Google Wallet's still MIA. You can hack it on there, but that's kind of not the point, right? Oh, they're so close, but yet so far. So where do we stand on the Galaxy Nexus here in the States? Don't have it. So more people are importing it. I mean, not to plug, but I got this one from Expansus, and it got here quick. Negri is doing it. I think, will Clove import? I think Clove does too.
I think they do, yeah. Don't
but it's still around $700, and that is just a buttload of money for a smartphone. Even if it is unlocked, and it's so nice to going back to just buying a phone, popping your SIM card in it, and the damn thing works. You know, my wife swapped iPhones, and you know, still had to like reactivate it and all this. I was like, why can't I just take the SIM card out of it? Just in, out, done. That's the way it should be. Even that was messed up.
Well, here's the thing. Do you think Verizon have kind of lost their exclusive now? Because everyone that was really, really wanting one of these and would pay anything for it has just gone and imported it.
You know, they might have done that anyway. No, because I think those numbers are probably still so small, generally speaking.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was talking to a friend who, you know, works at Verizon and has been using the Verizon version. He's like, it's nice. I said, yeah, what about battery life? Not bad. he sang it like that, actually, which is why I'm
doing
it. I mean, that wasn't me. That was how he said it. No, I mean, that's my big question with the LTE one, because that's the other thing. I've gone from, you know, full-time LTE device back to, you know, AT&T. And while I'm sitting at home using Wi-Fi most of the day, even when I leave, it's not, you know, grossly slower. I'm not missing it as much as I thought I would. And I'm also not charging the thing by lunchtime. I don't have to worry about battery life. And Alex did a good post today, you know, revisiting your battery life, and it's good.
It's good, yeah. Over 24 hours overnight. Good, most of the time, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can leave it unplugged overnight and, you know, not watch it die.
Absolutely.
Oy.
How's the build quality?
How's the what?
How do you like the build quality?
It's good. It's real good. Your classic Samsung build quality. Yeah, personally,
people complain about the plasticness of it, but this one doesn't bug me. You know, it's plastic. It's a phone. Chris Ziegler from the Verge was complaining about the battery cover and how thin it is, and it's got these little tabs. But I mean, to me, it's exactly like the Infuse. Basically, I mean, it pops on and it's good to go, and I never broke the Infuse, so I like it a lot. I really do. The camera, yeah, a little lacking. That's a little disappointing.
That's a bummer. Yeah.
It's, I mean, the camera's fine. It's just low light performance for me with the camera. The video quality is fine. Still shots when you're outside, plenty of daylight, it's fine. It's just low light, and low light is really kind of crappy, and that's a bit of a shame.
Jerry, how have you not imported one yet? How have you held off?
Not spending $700 on one.
I know. I mean, that's it. Not, just the principle.
Yeah, not going to happen. If it comes to the States, I'll worry about it then. If it doesn't, I don't know. I guess I'll take some bed sheets and make a noose and hang myself in my office. But I'm not spending that kind of money to import that phone.
It's got to come to AT&T eventually, surely.
Yeah.
I mean, we've heard rumors of AT&T reps carrying these things around. You know, it is the reference device. The GSM version is the actual reference device. So I'd be amazed if there wasn't some way of getting it in the US and not spending $750 in the next few
years. Yeah.
I mean, the Nexus One was TMO only at first, right? I mean, it was all unlocked, whatever. But, you know, we got an AT&T 3G version. I think it was in March. Because, remember, the site bought one. And that's what I used for the first couple months. Then I went and bought my own on AT&T. That was, what, 2 months? And then, I forget how long the Sprint... All right, so the Sprint Nexus S, where did I go? I was going somewhere. I was going to Orlando, so that was in March as well. So that was, what, 4 months, maybe 5 months? Because the Nexus S came out sooner. So, you know, it might not be forever, except for Verizon still hasn't released its version still. Engadget did get a Best Buy inventory screen that says it'll be in stock on the 11th. But as somebody was saying on Twitter, and we said as well, that really doesn't mean anything because we've seen those things be wrong. Just, you know, it's a date on a screen is what it is. So I don't know. I mean, they're still planning on doing it, just eventually. Yeah, December 8th is still the rumored day. So,
Why do you guys reckon it's been delayed so much? Because we've heard lots of things, whether it's the software that's not ready or whether they're just delaying it so they can sell as many Razors as they want. Or what's the theory on that?
Yeah, no. I think both of those are true as far as scheduling. I mean, you got to talk about whether it's a delay or whether it's just a scheduling thing, right? Yes, I think they wanted to put some distance between it and the Razor. You know, you just have to, and that goes back to what I say about Verizon's been doing too many phones. Delusion, whatever. So that's a scheduling thing. I think the software, that was probably true as well. What else? I mean, it's a whole manner of things that we just don't really ever hear about. I mean, I would be fascinated to be in those rooms and hear the discussion about, not just, you know, for nerd's sake, but, you know, for business sake, to see the birth and the death of a smartphone. And, you know, especially when you do things like the Merge, you know, a year ago that was, you know, aborted. They gave it to, you know, every other carrier. It's incredible.
I'll bet it involves voodoo priestesses and live chickens.
Be a lot cooler if it did.
If we could just find their warehouse somewhere, I'm sure there's a warehouse full of these somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's what I was joking.
People have it. People have it.
Yeah.
You know, testers and stuff.
Yeah, it's in hands. We've seen it leak out more. I don't care because it's the Galaxy Nexus with the Verizon logo on it. Otherwise, it's, you know, almost exactly the same. I tell you what. People are talking about the Verizon bloatware on it, but that really doesn't bother me. I think on principle I'd prefer... Well, no, and here's why. On principle, I think I'd prefer it be pure. It's a Nexus phone. It should be. But I think Verizon's put a lot into this Verizon backup software that backs up your app data, that, you know, that transfers it all over the cloud, right? Stuff that Google doesn't do natively. Although Google does do some of that natively now, I know. But, you know, if you're going from, say, a feature phone to this, right, it's going to make the process just eat. I don't know. Okay,
So put it in the market and let people download it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding. What? So you said that Google doesn't back up some of it? What's an example of that? I've never heard that before.
That's what I'm saying. I was trying to talk myself into it.
Oh, okay. I think it's just contacts and that's it.
I'm pretty sure it does app data, doesn't it?
Am I wrong? It says it does.
Mad at it. I've always said no the second it asked me if I want to use it, so I don't know. But I thought it was just set or contacts, and maybe email.
Do we know whether we can disable it through ICS like you can with all of apps these days?
Yes, you can.
Okay,
there was, I think Fandroid or somebody got pictures on that today, and I mean, makes sense, right? You can disable all these apps. You should be able to. Hey, I don't want to say it yet.
Maybe it backs up all your VCAS stuff. All your Verizon.
That would be awesome if you pick up your Verizon Galaxy Nexus, say, oh yeah, all right, run the backup thing, and up pops all the VCash crap that you had on other phones.
Bang.
Oh my God. That would be awesome.
Can you imagine?
Jerry, you got to go buy one of these things and test it, because I want to see your face if it happens.
No, you don't.
I hate bloatware. Like, I am hugely against it. But the things that they're talking about putting on there, like that app to keep track of your minutes and usage, and so My Verizon Mobile, and I think there's one other. I can't remember what it's called, but it didn't seem like they were that big of a deal. To me, it's a big deal if they're holding up the release of the phone to get those apps working on it. That's what ticks me off.
It's closed source software and has no business being on a Nexus phone.
Wait a minute, Jerry. All the Google apps are closed source software.
You don't have to have them. You don't have to use them.
You don't have to use the Verizon apps. You can build AOSP.
You can't
build the
Verizon version from source.
That's true. Not yet, I guess. Do you reckon we ever will be able to?
Well, you'll have to pull the closed source stuff off and push it back. And it'll be done.
Explain that, because you've done a really good job explaining to me how that works. And I've kind of had to relearn all this stuff a little bit with the Galaxy Nexus. So they release the source code, right? And this was, I forget if we talked about it in the last time we podcasted or not. So I want to kind of revisit it. So Google released the source. And I mean, what exactly does that mean when they release the source? Did they release a giant thing of files that says, all right, hey, these are the files for Ice Cream Sandwich? Or is it a big folder that says, no, this is Ice Cream Sandwich, but it's Ice Cream Sandwich for the Galaxy Nexus, and that's all we have right now? And you know, you can go download it and play with it and port it over to whatever you want.
There's a master branch that's all the code there that anybody could use to build it for basically any device in the world. But there's a set of scripts specifically built for the international unlock GSM Nexus, Galaxy Nexus, where it'll build a special build that works exactly for that phone. There's also a set of scripts there to build for the Panda board or for the emulator. Mm-hmm. But the software itself is there to make it run on any phone if you want to put the time into it.
Okay.
And there's proprietary stuff there, like drivers that you need for...
Right.
Yeah, closed source drivers for the hardware acceleration and stuff, I think, isn't there?
Yeah.
And so that's when we talk about the manufacturers releasing code. So HTC has HTC Dev, and Samsung has its place, and LG. So when they release kernels and source code and stuff, that's what we're talking about, so that people can go get that and then merge that in with
kind of mostly, yes.
Yeah. Okay, got it. And then today we saw them release the stock images for the phone, and I know what those are. When you flash a phone, you're basically flashing images, right? Like, one file, it's whatever, boot.img, and then that gets flashed on system.img, userdata.img. So today they released the stock ones, so I can go and put on a custom recovery now, and then I can go back and flash the stock recovery later if I need to, right?
Yes, right.
Cool. Because that's important.
Right, as long as you don't damage the hardware, now you can always get your phone back to the way it came out of the box.
Excellent. That's good. That's the way it should be. I like that. Oh, I'm so happy to be back in the Nexus lifestyle. Look, Thunderbolt, it was a little bit of disappointment. I've used a lot of other good phones this past year, and a lot of really good phones, but it's just so much. I have so much more peace of mind. You know what it is? Nexus means not having to say you're sorry. Write it down. Make a bumper sticker. That's what it is.
Well, see, last week you kind of alluded to thinking the Nexus was dead. Like it was no longer a Nexus anymore. Do you feel differently now?
Yeah, don't listen to me. I reserve the right to change my mind.
That was a nerd moment.
Yeah, but now that you have it in your hands again, you're willing to...
Well, I didn't have the phone. No, yeah. I mean, just... on principle. Look, and I said it before and I'll say it again. I think I would be perfectly happy with the Ice Cream Sandwich on a Nexus S. I think it's going to run really, really well. I just like, because I've been using Thunderbolt full time since March. That's a long time for me.
It survived.
Yeah, mostly survived.
I'll bet you had to charge your battery 35,000 times since March.
My God, it's ridiculous. And I've never had a phone just kind of break down like that. I don't think I treated it any more harshly than I treat anything else. And I've never had a phone just fall apart. I mean, like, it's not falling apart, with the paint coming off and that. Yeah, it's.
Yeah.
Still don't know how much I'll miss LTE, but so far I'm okay. Anything else in the Galaxy Nexus? I can't wait for everybody to get it. I can't wait for everybody to play with it. If you can, go use a port of Ice Cream Sandwich in the meantime. It'll really tide you over.
I'm putting that on my Fascinate tonight after the podcast.
Totally. Are you going to do me a video?
Am I going to do a video?
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
Thank you.
I'll do one.
Oh, yeah. I still got to buy Corey an XR Galaxy Nexus, too. I promised. I assume it was the Ryzen one, which is why I haven't asked.
Could be the Prime.
Not still. The Prime. Quit calling it the Prime.
A man can dream.
Anything else on the Galaxy Nexus? Shall we move on? Shall we not move on?
It's time.
Anybody?
It is time, well, yeah.
Speaking of Prime, we did a horrible segue there. Asus Transformer Prime. It is not quite available, but I have one. Reviews are out, so we had an abbreviated review. Had like a 24-hour review window, and I hate those. I understand everybody's got to do it. But here it is. So can you guys see in the video just how thin they've gotten this thing? Really did a nice job on both the tablet and the keyboard. Really, really nicely refined. Honestly, I can't tell. I guess it's metal. I keep going back and forth. I'm like, is it metal? Is it plastic? It's metal. But, oh, man. It's nice. Tegra 3, nice. Fast. You know, the graphics. I kind of hesitate to show a lot of this stuff on video because it's just like, all right, you're watching video of really good graphics. You need to try this for yourself. Go play with one as soon as you can. Play these games. Play the demos. It is just awesome what they've done with the lighting and the shading. The keyboard is just as good as last time, only better. It's gotten thinner.
Look how fast that is. Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, the keys are excellent. You know, it's still a little cramped, but whatever. Mm. Trackpad's gotten a little better. It's a one-piece trackpad now. Still has micro HDMI. Still has full-size USB port. It has, I actually managed to not lose one. It has little rubber things that go into the USB port and in the tablet, so before you seat it, you have to take these rubber feet out so you can lose it. It's a little ridiculous.
Huh.
But, ooh, it's nice. Here's my thing.
It looks amazing.
How much are two more cores worth to you?
A lot with
$1 million.
I mean, look, the cheapest you can get this for is $650. Right? $500 for the tablet, another $150 for the keyboard. So this is $650 in my hand right here. That is a buttload of cash. That is almost a Galaxy Nexus. Sorry.
But dude, look at play Riptide again.
Oh, I know. It's awesome. But is it worth that much more money?
Yes.
I mean, it's not a lot more. Okay,
we'll trade my kidney for Transformer Prime.
I'll tell you what else.
The iPad is about the same price. I mean, it's not out of its league.
The cheapest iPad is $500. And I tell you, because I've been playing, you know, Infinity Blade 2 came out last night. Oh, my God, Phil's using an iPad. Infinity Blade's a pretty cool game. But you can really tell the difference in the graphics. And you know, I'm not a graphics guru. I'm not a developer, so I'll get yelled at for this probably. But here's the way I see it. Something like Infinity Blade has, I don't want to call them static graphic, but because I don't have the right terminology, it's what I'm going to call them, right? So when you're playing through it and you're watching it, everything's going to look the same. Like, the animation will be in the same places at the same time, right? As you're doing gameplay, the characters all move the same way each time. I mean, they might do it in a different order, and that's what makes the game a little tougher. But it's not dynamic, right? It's not interacting with what you're doing in real time. And that's what the games on Tegra 2 have done, and on Tegra 3 have gotten even more incredible, the lighting and the shading and the reactions and everything. It's really cool.
So here's my question. Is it, outside of games and stuff, do you notice the extra two cores just in, you know, browsing, flipping through the, you know, screens and stuff like that?
I need to go back and test browsing again because actually they just released an update today. So a lot of, and that's why I kind of stayed away from some of that stuff in the review. You know, obviously battery, you can't properly test in 24 hours. But some of the other stuff, in fact, they said, you know, your benchmarks will probably change a little bit after this update. So I haven't applied it yet. And we'll see. Not grossly so. I mean, you're still not up to like desktop type fluidity.
Do you need Ice Cream Sandwich in order to take advantage of this?
I don't know, but at the same time, I mean, how much can you pump through this little screen? And, you know, it's just... Let me load up Android Look Central real quick and see how crappy we are. But if you can see this... Come on, little Wi-Fi. Hey, where'd you go? Android. I do like how you can use the screen and the keyboard at the same time. That's kind of cool. All right, so here's our site. That's pretty fast, huh? See the scrolling? If you can't, that's okay. Yeah. And if you're listening to the audio later, sorry. No, it's fast. I mean, Tegra 3 doesn't bump you up to like... Look at it this way. It's like driving a car in town, right? In town, you're still going to be driving it. But if you're out on the highway, it's like flooring it and just having that extra power available. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
The graphics
speed limit.
Awesome. Yeah.
The graphics are going to hold it back a little bit.
Yeah. It's a damn nice tablet. Asus has done a really good job. The hinge here has actually gotten shorter. So on the original Transformer, I think it would have come up like another maybe half inch. So to really slim that down nicely without losing any of the... I mean, I have no worry when I'm opening this that the tablet's going to come flying out or anything. Really, really nicely done on the hardware side. You know, Asus has to be commended for that. It's not going to replace a netbook. I mean, actually, I think it would replace a netbook except for in price. I might buy this instead of a Chromebook, maybe. Because Chromebooks still aren't as cheap as I think they should be. But
if you still send it to me, we're going to see if it can run Linux. If it can run Ubuntu, I'll buy that instead of a Galaxy Nexus.
Well, and there's an idea. Like, actually run Ubuntu? Or
Yeah, with the dock, if it can be made to run Ubuntu, like
on USB?
Like a little netbook? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'd be sweet.
You need a virtual machine application. For tablets.
Any questions on that? Any other questions? We're going to keep playing with it. We're going to keep testing it. And yes, Jerry's going to get to play with it.
He's been really excited. He talks about it every night.
Yes.
Another cool thing that I haven't done yet, and I need to. So they sent like a wireless gamepad with it to play with. And see, I'm using the invisible one on my fingers here. So you'll plug it into the USB port, and then you can play wirelessly, play these games. And then so the idea is then you take the entire rig and plug it into your TV with the HDMI. And so, you know, this could theoretically replace game consoles. In fact, I think I even saw somebody write somewhere that game consoles are dead. No, that it's not going to replace game consoles. Are you serious? Are you kidding? Absolutely not.
No.
They just sold more Xboxes over the past couple weeks or whatever for Black Friday than ever. But I don't know. I mean, I was thinking about use cases that you could. I could see myself, like, going on vacation with the kids or something, maybe. But I don't think it's going to... I mean, do you guys think it's going to replace game consoles?
Nope. Hopefully they don't even try.
Yeah.
Not yet. 15 years from now, there might be something else, but...
Yeah, I think something in the future like that might. Maybe something that you can take with you and plug in, and then that would... You'd have a dock that would be plugged into your TV, and it would have enough horsepower in there to run games. I think that could happen in the future, but not for a few years.
Little ways to go. So that's the Prime. I'm still looking at availability in the next couple weeks. Should be able to get it online, they said, around the 12th, and then the 19th in stores. So they're still kind of finalizing that, but that's the window they're looking at. A lot of cool stuff before Christmas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of cool, expensive stuff before Christmas. Yeah, that's the best kind, right?
See, they don't release these before Black Friday because then they'd have to discount them.
That's true. True. All right. Anything else before we dive into the deep, dark pool of carrier IQ?
Let me get the bourbon. Hold on.
Jerry's not kidding. He's getting bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
So... No.
It's too late.
So when last we left Carrier IQ, so did we talk about the cease and desist and all that yet? I don't think we have. So Trev E., and you've heard his name in security-related stuff before, was poking around. Was he using the Evo 3D, I think, or Sign4G, I forget which, and noticed there are these, you know, when you're looking in the list of apps that are running, something called HTC IQ, I think, or Carrier IQ, whatever it is. And the long and the short of it is basically, and Jerry, make sure I'm explaining this right, because I'm going to really try to oversimplify this. Way it works is there's this company out there called Carrier IQ, and think of it like an analytics company. And oh, by the way, Renee, who is producing this podcast, will be chiming in here in a second because he really knows what he's talking about with this stuff, far so more than I do. So Carrier IQ is, I hate to call it an app. I don't think that's the right word for it. I guess technically it's an app, whatever, that's running in the real low levels tucked down into your phone. Not like a traditional app. It's not sitting in your app drawer. I guess it could if somebody wanted it to be. And it takes basically everything you do on the phone. It's able to read and then does something with it. What exactly it does, we don't quite know. And there's, I think there's a little misconception over what its intent is versus what it can do. So this app just didn't appear out of nowhere, right? I think some people are almost making it sound like it magically got onto your phone, like it opened your window at night, crept into your house, wormed its way into your phone without your knowing. It didn't quite work that way. So the way it works is Sprint, and you know, we're only really seeing this on Sprint and AT&T phones, by the way. So Sprint or AT&T, you know, a carrier hires Carrier IQ to write this thing for that phone, for their code, and say, all right, yeah, we want this on our phone because we want to be able to tell. And here's the big difference, right? I want to be able to tell what somebody, and I'm, you know, using the Nexus, the Galaxy Nexus here as an example, but obviously it's not on this because it's a Nexus phone, and apparently people needed confirmation of that, but obviously. You know, I want to know, is somebody going to hit the back button more, or are they going to use, if you're in, say, the Android market, are they going to hit the back button more often, or do they hit this button up here that takes you all the way home? Which one do they do more? That's the sort of analytics I think they're gaining to get out of something like this. A couple months ago, I got a call. Somebody passed my name around for a survey with a manufacturer. I'm not going to say which one, but in answering their questions, it was, you know, extremely obvious what they were asking my opinion on. And it was real, you know, simple stuff like, hey, do you prefer the phone dialer to look like this or to look like that? Do you prefer the home screen this way or this option on the home screen? Or if you don't like it, why don't you like it? Why would you push that button instead of this one? So it's, I think it's kind of the same thing. I think it's Sprint or AT&T or whoever trying to get a better idea of how you're using your phone. I don't think it's Sprint or AT&T or whoever trying to spy on you. I don't think it's them trying to, you know, see every phone number you're calling or read every text message. And oh, by the way,
which they could do anyway. Yeah,
they can already
freaking,
do. Yeah.
Freaking out about a carrier knowing which phone number you call is the most asinine thing I've ever heard in my life. Yes, they absolutely know who you're calling. In fact, at the end of each month, they'll put it on a piece of paper and send it to you in the mail if you want. I know that's not the point, but there's just been so much. I mean, if I see one more headline that says Android is spying on you, this is not a part of Android. That's something that absolutely needs to be made clear. This is the third party app. Now, Jerry, is it wrong that I don't want to call it an app? I kind of want to call it a service. Oh. I'm not sure if it's a service.
It's much deeper than an app. It's put in on a system level.
So here's my thing about why I think people are so upset. It's seeing all this information, which, by the way, is completely available to any application anyway that declares the permissions, which this one does, right? If you open up the app settings and see the permissions that it has a buttload of app permissions. You know, and yes, you didn't install it. You never explicitly hit a button that said, yes, I would like this app to be on there or this service to be on there. But my thing is, how many other things like that are on your phone? I'm willing to bet a lot. Right? How many other parts of your phone that you don't know how to use are on there? and that you might not like if you knew about them. I mean, I'm not saying head in the sand is the best idea, but I think people are getting a little upset over this without really thinking about it and understanding it. You know, I've watched Trevi's video a couple times, and it's actually really interesting. I really did enjoy watching it and seeing how this stuff works. So if you haven't seen the video, go watch it. But, you know, you see the list of things scrolling, and as he pushes a button, a little unique identifier code pops up in the Logcat, you know, in the screen that says, all right, he pushed button A1. A1 corresponds to the home button. Okay, he pushed button B2. That corresponds to the menu button. Or he pushed button C3. Oh, hey, look, that's a number on the phone dialer. And then using that, you could figure out how somebody, you know, a phone number that was dialed. But it's not like the phone number sitting there in clear text. Text messages, that was another thing. I mean, that was a little more interesting. And Jerry, that's what I want to ask you. When you see text messages pop up in the Logcat in clear text like that, does that give you a little pause? And the other thing was web browsing that he showed. So if you're browsing to something over HTTPS, supposedly it's supposed to be encrypted, and you shouldn't be able to see the actual address in Logcat or something like that. Not even getting to, am I worried about what's happening with that data? We'll talk about that in a second. But is that something that in a service like this should be able to see unencrypted?
No. No, that service is evil to the core.
Okay. Or are you kidding?
No, I'm serious.
Yeah? Okay.
That service is maybe a necessary evil. There's better ways, in my opinion, to get your analytics than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But, I mean, I have a serious problem with the way all this went down.
Yeah.
Number one, Carrier IQ has been around since October of 2009, and nobody gave a damn until somebody on the internet told them they should give a damn. And it was on every Android forum. It was out there, and nobody cared. Now somebody told them you should care, and now everybody's making a big deal out of it. And my biggest problem is this is software we knew was on the phone. This is software we agreed to when we used the phone, and now we want, oh, save us from Carrier IQ. No, you chose this.
Is there a difference between explicitly saying, yes, I want something like this on my phone, or implicitly accepting it by using the phone in the first place?
If you accepted it without reading what you were accepting,
mm-hmm.
You have to take a little bit of personal responsibility. You know, first off, I was in a hangout the other night with an IT guy from Google, and Carrier IQ came up. He brought up a really good point. They have to use a third-party system daemon app-style monster because Google does not make it easy to log this kind of mm-hmm. data. This has nothing to do with Google. This is so far away from Google that, you know, they're not even in the same plane.
Okay, so when I said that this is all stuff that's available anyway, was I incorrect?
No. You know, this is all stuff because we're dealing with open-source software.
Mm-hmm.
You can change it any way you like.
Okay.
And not all mods are good mods.
Gotcha.
I mean, let's be honest.
And I'm trying to understand this better. So.
Yeah. But we all agreed to this, and it's, you know, it's called Carrier IQ, what we're fighting about now. I will promise you that any phone that you buy on any carrier across the world is taking analytic data, whether they're using a program called Carrier IQ to do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's always done. Google takes it. Every time you turn the internet on, it takes it. It's done. There's no way you can get around it. We have to understand that just because we don't like it, and I'm trying to remain calm, serenity now. we need to voice our opinions, but I don't like the way we're voicing it. Damn you, Sprint. Damn you, HTC. Damn you, AT&T. Damn you, LG. Why are you selling us out like that? This little company from San Francisco that writes this software, if we drive them out of business with all this outroar, 20 more will be ready to fill that need. Hell, if the money's good enough, I'll write the software.
I'm a little surprised we haven't seen, you know, normally somebody would have started like 10 petitions by now, or at the very least, you know, I mean, I haven't gotten any class action lawsuit emails, and I'm a little surprised.
Do it.
You know what? They brought this on themselves. They threw out that cease and desist order, that lawsuit, this thing would not have gotten blown out of proportion as much as it has, but they brought this on.
Okay, let me talk about that for a second, because we haven't talked about it yet. So Trevi did a previous post that, and we didn't, you know, write it up. He sent it to us, trying to get us to write it, and I didn't, for whatever reason. He did an interesting post detailing how the Carrier IQ service does its thing, and he found a bunch of training materials on their website. Technically, it wasn't behind any sort of security, and he went out of his way to say, look, I didn't circumvent anything. You know, I didn't crack any passwords. I didn't steal anything. It's just there if you know where to go find it. So he had, you know, training materials, and, hey, here's exactly what the carrier can get out of this. Carrier IQ sent him a cease and desist letter, and actually a really nastily worded cease and desist letter. But to me, it totally makes sense. If I was a company trying to protect myself and my reputation like that, I would hire a lawyer and would have him just threaten the hell out of this guy, right? Because the worst thing that's going to happen is he's going to get himself a lawyer who knows what they're talking about, and that shouldn't be that difficult.
The worst thing that happens is he publishes it on the internet and gets the EFF behind him, and then it all gets blown out of proportion.
Exactly. So he got the EFF. Trevor Eckhart, the Trevi security guy, got the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, involved, and their lawyers, and they took a look at it, and they're like, no, this is ridiculous. And they wrote back, like, you need to tell us exactly what you say our client's infringing on, you know, and blah, 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 and no, we're absolutely not going to recant everything that was said. And you know what? The system worked how it was supposed to. I'm sorry it had to happen, and I'm sorry it happened, but I'm glad Trevor didn't back down. I think he did exactly the right thing, and it was really good to see. So where were we? So blown out of proportion?
No. To other people, that's a personal decision.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anybody profiting off analytics that I provide them without my explicit permission.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the sneaky little way that you have to agree to it when you start the phone up. I mean, just tell us. If you're going to put it in there, put a big blinking size 9 font warning, hey, guess what? We're watching your every move. Then nobody can bitch at all anymore.
Yep.
But, I mean, my biggest thing is, you know, you have to know it's there. I don't care. Apple can say, oh, we're not using Carrier IQ now. Verizon can say, oh, we don't use Carrier IQ. They're using something else. Guaranteed, they're using something else. They gather this data. They need this data. We don't have to like it. So if something you else, don't want to do what?
Sorry, something else I want to talk about from the video is that we're seeing all this data being collected in real time. We're not seeing what's being done with it. Trevi, you know, took great pains to disconnect from the network, not on Wi-Fi. So that, you know, the stuff is being collected, but it's not being sent anywhere, at least, you know, while he is disconnected, right? I mean, if you're not connected, it can't be sent.
Right.
And this was a question I posed to Jerry is, all right, well, I mean, theoretically, how long is this stuff around? How long would something like this be around anyway, you know, if you were just looking through a Logcat, if you were just looking through the log of – and for those of you at home who don't know what a Logcat is, it's basically a list of every tiny little thing Android does. And it's pretty incredible to watch, and I don't know what 99% of it means or does, but it's every tiny little thing the OS does at any given time. It's pretty awesome to see.
You know, if that's the kind of information that they want, so knowing how people are using their phone and what features, Microsoft used to bring people into their offices. I participated in it several times, and they'd bring me into a room, or they'd bring that person in the room, and they'd ask you all these questions, and they probably interviewed maybe 1,000 people. And to me, that's a better way to do it than to put some piece of software on there and try to extract data out of it and not tell you. And I don't want anyone knowing, it's maybe as innocent as it is, I don't like the idea of somebody knowing all the button presses that I'm making and being able to possibly dig in and see what my messages say. And they're probably not doing that, but it's just the idea that they can. And
I think the problem is now that it's unknown. You don't know what they're doing with this information that they're collecting. All we know is that this service is doing something with all the button presses and is doing something with all the numbers that are keyed in. I think they need to answer, you know, the questions that Trev has at the end of his video, which is what's actually going on with all this information that's being collected, especially since it's, you know, the stuff that's at the end is happening even when it's on Wi-Fi, even when you're not actually connected to your carrier's network.
We actually literally just now, or 40 minutes ago as we started podcasting, Carrier IQ has put out a press release on Business Wire. The last one, when they announced they withdrew the cease and desist, they actually sent it to us directly. So let me just skim this. So apologies for doing this live. To clarify misinformation on the functionality of Carrier IQ, the company is updating its statement from November 23rd as follows. We measure and summarize performance of the device to assist operators in delivering better service. And I'm really, really skimming here. Privacy is protected. Our software makes your phone better by delivering intelligence on the performance of mobile devices and networks to help the operators provide optimal service efficiency. We are being deployed by leading operators to monitor and analyze the performance of their services and mobile devices to ensure the system, network, and handsets works to optimal efficiency. Carrier IQ acts as an agent for the operators, for the carriers. Each implementation is different. The diagnostic information actually gathered is determined by our customers, the mobile operators. Carrier IQ does not gather any data from devices.
And P.S., we're ticked that you found out.
Well, here's something else that's pretty interesting. And this is something about from the HTC said today that was on The Verge. That they're kind of, you know, manufacturers that are distancing themselves from Carrier IQ, yeah, and they're saying that it's important that HTC is not a customer or partner of Carrier IQ, does not receive data from the application, the company, or carriers that partner with Carrier IQ. HTC is investigating the option to allow consumers to opt out of data collection.
Yeah, and actually, that's pretty much. Yeah, I spoke briefly with somebody at HTC the other day, and they're like, look, you know, the carrier wants us to put it on, we put it on. It really has nothing to do with us. And that makes sense. I'm not really sure, and I think Jerry would probably disagree with me here, but I'm not really sure it's HTC. Well, I mean, and that's fine, but I'm not sure it's HTC's place to be like, are you really sure you want that on the phone? No. And maybe they should. I mean, it's got HTC's logo on it as well.
I think it just shows how
weird the relationship between these companies in building this product can be.
Right. HTC's responsibility is to their customer, which is Sprint, Verizon, AT&T.
And it's not just Android either. I think a lot of people, you said this earlier, but I think it's important to, they didn't find it on a BlackBerry, but they did find it on an iPhone, right? And some of the, what was the other one? Nokia said that they don't put it on theirs. So these were device manufacturers coming out and saying this.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I have heard absolutely different and seen proof that it's on a BlackBerry and was on Symbian devices. So at this point, who knows what to believe?
There's like lots of different reports coming from different places on who does and doesn't have it. And if anybody says they don't have it and then you find out they do, that is not going to be good. It's like, why is everybody trying to hide this? That's my problem with it. It's like, you know, Carrier IQ had a fit when people found out, and then now everybody's kind of scrambling to cover it up, and they're not being, like, honest about it.
If when you first launch your phone or get your phone, if there was a dialog box that popped up and said, hey, we've got this stuff in your phone that, yes, can see what you're doing on your phone, we're not, you know, reading passwords, we're not reading your email, whatever. Although, remember, boys and girls, Google's reading your email. You know, but if you had a button that explicitly said, hey, we're doing this, you know, if you don't want us to do it, hit this button. If you want us to do it, would that end this discussion right there?
I think that's all that needs to happen.
But that's what they're doing now.
They're
using legal speak.
There's not a button there that says, you know, yes, do you want to use this? There's, you know, a legal document that says they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you know, that's not the same as an actual option.
How many times do you read the term and conditions of something?
I mean,
nobody reads that.
I read them every time.
Darius better man than us.
No, I'm not a better man. I'm just a paranoid tinfoil hat idiot.
It's in small print, and it's like 10 pages long. It's not dumbed down to where it just says, this is what we're doing.
Everyone's saying there's no way to opt out. Yes, there is. Say, oh, never mind. Don't you have a Nexus phone? Walk away. I don't want that phone.
Yeah, I mean,
you just don't like it.
It's worth saying that not all carriers are on board with this, and certainly not all international carriers are on board with this. We had all the UK carriers today saying, we're not using this software. We have no plans to use this software.
So what software are they using to gather their analytics?
They're asking. Well,
yeah, they're probably using some network level stuff. Because the software on branded phones isn't that much different.
One of the things I did think was important is, you know, I read that they're, I think it's good to track coverage and drop calls and problems in their network and things like that. I'm all for whatever that comes in the form of a service or whatever on the phone. Radio problems, because not all phones are the same, right? You could have a hardware radio issue with some phones that kind of service or software could highlight. I'm for that. It's just my pressing buttons and keystrokes and things like that. It makes me a little nervous. It sounds like phishing.
Well, you know what? If they want to do it, I still go back to let's make it more clear what we're doing. You know, not everybody, you all said it right on. Not everybody reads those terms of service. Not everybody is a paranoid idiot. So let's put it out there. That's my solution. Make it, you can't use the phone until you hit the button that says, I agree that you're going to watch my every freaking move. Then problem solved.
I'm pulling out my stone and my carving knife. I'm going to go back to the States.
Hey, Renee, if you're still lurking back there, you want to get your two cents in? Because I know you know a lot more about this than I do.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Jerry on this stuff because Jerry's a real smart guy. They're not using Carrier IQ. They're almost certainly using something because the privacy issue is collateral damage to them wanting to make more money from you. They don't really care who you are. They just need to know enough about you to make more money. And to put it in a real human context, if you walk into Quickie Mart and you buy a Coke and a bag of chips, Coke has no idea you bought that bag of chips and that Coke, but Quickie Mart does. So they turn around and sell that data to Coke so that Coke can know who's buying their stuff and what they're buying it with. Then they sell it to Fritos or the chip company so they'll know what they're being bought with. And they sell it to Pepsi so they'll know what competitors are buying. That's why there's a multi-billion dollar analytics business and customer insight business that's going to make Google, you know, search monetization looks small in a couple of years, and absolutely everyone is doing it. It's why Apple made Siri. It's why all this kind of front-end search engine stuff is so important. Alex lives in a city where they take his photo 300 times a minute. It's kind of the new normal. But I do think that we're not well enough informed about it, and it's good that these issues come up so that we do get scared and we do hold people accountable to what they do with that data. In a nutshell.
That summarizes it really well.
Yes, that's what a level-headed man can say instead of some crazy hillbilly.
I just crimp off Jerry.
And my thing, I think that upsets me so much is when I see there's just so much FUD and misinformation about all this. I'm not saying it's not something that shouldn't be, you know, that we shouldn't worry about and that we shouldn't keep our eyes on. I think we definitely should. And the discussion should be had, and we'll continue to have it. But when I see headline after headline saying Android is spying on you, your phone is spying on you, you know, your Android phone is spying on you, and it's not true. It's ridiculous. And I really just want us all to understand this as best we can.
Right.
I'm really curious to see Lookout, you know, the mobile security company Lookout, whom, you know, I've kind of chided before because they, you know, warn us about all these crazy viruses that we never get, right? But you know, I assume these guys know what they're talking about. Jerry and I have talked to the company before. I don't think they're trying to pull the wool over our eyes, but they said today, hey, you know, this isn't malware. It's, you know, it's something that needs to be taken seriously, but it's not this, like, inherently evil worm that crawled its way into your phone. It's just not.
They use the word malware?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said it's not malware.
Oh, it's not malware. Okay.
Yes.
I gotcha.
N-O-T, not.
Not okay.
Well, are we all significantly worked up? Sufficiently worked up? Should we call it a night? Anything else we want to talk about? Hey, the Verizon Fascinate got gingerbread.
What's gingerbread again? That was December last
year. Droid Charge got gingerbread. The Fascinate got gingerbread the same week as the Droid Charge. By the way.
Yeah.
We've got a hands-on up with the LG Nitro HD on AT&T, and yes, by the way, it does have Carrier IQ on it. It's an AT&T phone.
So it knows that we just, every review now.
It knows we just did a hands-on with it. it knows where. Yeah, you know, whatever. Yeah, well, I think here's how we're going to handle it in, you know, in reviews. If we know it's got carrier IQ on it, we're going to say it. It'll be a bullet point. We're not going to say don't buy the phone because it has carrier IQ. That's something each one of you out
there. That's personal.
There
that's right.
Exactly. You need to make up your own mind about how much you're going to care about that. And, you know, our job, I think, is to inform you that it's there. Here's what it does. I'm not going to tell you what to do with it. Because, and I don't mind saying, me personally, I have better things to worry about. I just do. Maybe I don't care enough, but I'm pretty out there anyway. So for me personally, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. You know, if you do, that's fine. I think it's important. I think people need to watch our backs on that. I'm not the one who's going to do it. We will continue to report on it as best we can, though.
But I do want to take 1 second, Phil. Hold on
yes,
1 second.
Yes. Yes.
You.
Yes.
We know carrier IQ is not on a Nexus phone. We know carrier IQ is not in CyanogenMod. We know carrier IQ is not in most custom ROMs. I know your device is not for everybody. Buying a Nexus phone is not for everybody. But if it does bother you that much, mm-hmm. somebody on the internet will be more than happy to help you get rid of it. Call me.
Something we should have mentioned, and Jerry and I have talked about this, and I can't remember if we did a post on it a long time ago or not, but CyanogenMod has statistics. It's not tracking everything that you do, and to be honest, I forget exactly what it is checking. When you first launch CM for the first time now, it pops up this big thing that says, hey, do you want to help us, you know, not collect data, and I forget what the actual verbiage is, but if you've done it recently, you'll see it, and you'll know you see it. It's very well done, I think. You know,
they tell you right up front,
exactly.
Plain as day, that's the way to do it. Listen to
right.
And you know what? That makes me check yes.
Yeah.
Take my analytics. I'll be happy to help.
Thank you for telling me. I'm more than happy to help you now. Yeah.
Yep.
It goes a long way. All right, so that's going to do it.
Yep. Oh, I was just going to say, there actually is, go on the internet sometime and do a search. There's these sites where you can look up your name and it'll tell you like every address you've ever had. People can buy this information for a buck. Okay. So, I mean, there's worse than this out there. I mean, everywhere you go, you're being tracked somehow or some way. Every website you visit. I mean, it's not like this is new.
That's why I'm preemptive. I get out there so people get tired of me. I'm tired of me. All right, and that's going to do it. So, as always, you can email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. I know we didn't do any emails this week. We will get back to those in voicemails next week. And you can get us all on Twitter @AndroidCentral, @PhilNickinson.
It's not like this is new.
That's why I'm preemptive. I get out there so people get tired of me. I'm tired of me. All right, and that's going to do it. So, as always, you can email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. I know we didn't do any emails this week. We will get back to those in voicemails next week. And you can get us all on Twitter @AndroidCentral, @PhilNickinson.
It's not like this is new.
That's why I'm preemptive. I get out there so people get tired of me. I'm tired of me. All right, and that's going to do it. So, as always, you can email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. I know we didn't do any emails this week. We will get back to those in voicemails next week. And you can get us all on Twitter @AndroidCentral, @PhilNickinson. Mickey, when he's back, @TCPJ_Mickey, @GBHill for Jerry, H-I-L, @CStreeter for Corey, @AlexDoby. Are you still actually using Twitter, Alex, at all?
Kind of, now and again. Using right. G+ more these days.
Yeah, we're all on Google Plus. Rocks, search our names. Yes. Loving Google Plus, come find us there. Be sure to be sure to circle the Android Central page. What do we call them? Brand page on Google Plus as well. We are on there, and as we are every week, we are brought to you by the Android Central Store. You can get them at store.androidcentral.com or call 888-468-6158. Again, we'll catch up on voicemails next week. But you can leave us more. We've got some good ones waiting in the wings, so be sure to get yours in too. 888-468-6158, extension 222. Thank you all for a very good discussion on carrier IQ. I think it's important to have. I think it's important to have rationally, though. And the internet's not always the best place to do that. So, Jerry, Corey, Alex, Renee, everybody at home, Kit, thank you. Good to see you. Good to be back.
Good night.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you. Good night.
You like my Galaxy Nexus?
Yes.
We're going to bed.
F you, Phil.
My.
synchronize Galaxy Nexus if we want.
Just imagine how great that LTE Galaxy Nexus is going to be, and you won't want that crappy one.